Are we ready for God's word this morning? Okay, since we don't have our usual scriptures up there, do we, Brother John Bob? Probably not. So I'm just going to quote a lot of the scriptures because I have a lot of scriptures to go by, or I'll just turn in my Bible. If you'd like to turn with me, you're going to have to turn fast, okay? Because we have a lot of scriptures to look at. And this morning we're going to begin a series of messages, a two-part series that we're entitling, Why Do We Need a Savior? I think it's appropriate in this Christmas season to understand why we need a Savior. What is a Savior? Someone, in the context of Jesus, someone who comes to save us from our sins, right? Very simply, someone who comes to save us from our sins. Okay, so open your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 5, please. Genesis chapter 5. I decided to give this scripture because it's easy to turn to. We can see it. So we're gonna go to the very beginning of the Bible, the beginning of what we would consider to be time when God created man and woman. And we're going to look at all the technicalities. Listen carefully, church family. You're going to understand why Adam and Eve's sin impacted all of us. Some people say, well, that's not fair. That's not fair. You know, I wasn't there eating the apple or eating the fruit, the forbidden fruit. Why should I become a sinner? Well, I'm seeking to answer that question, okay? Genesis chapter 5, we're going to read one verse of scripture in Genesis 5, and that is verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. Now, here is an account, very briefly, of Adam's third born child. Right? Who's the firstborn? Cain. Secondborn? Abel. Thirdborn? Seth. But I want you to notice the words in this verse that probably jog our memory to a different verse that is found in chapter 1. And that is, Seth was born, he was begotten in the image of whom? Adam. In the likeness of whom? Adam, right? It's a departure from the scripture you and I are more acquainted with, which is Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. He said he created a male and female, and God created them in whose likeness? His likeness, and in whose image? His image. So yes, let me be very technical here. We all, as human beings, are created in the image and the likeness of God. We bear the sacred and the divine from that standpoint, right? Isn't that what separates humans from the animal kingdom? There are no animals, not even cats, sorry, that bear the image of God. Only people bear the image of God. And this is what makes human life sacred. Right, church family? This is why we Bible-believing Christians believe that life does not begin upon birth. Life begins upon conception. I'll even take that a step further. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. The Lord told Jeremiah, he said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, in other words, before you were conceived in your mother's womb, I knew you. So listen, church family, life does not begin upon conception. Technically, it begins in the mind of God. Yes? Amen? All right, no, we're few, but I still want some hearty amens, all right? Okay, so what's my point here? Notice, Seth was born in the image and the likeness of Adam. Could we say the same of Cain, and could we say the same of Abel? Yes, we can. Right? Listen carefully. Listen carefully. Did not Cain and Abel and Seth bear Adam's physical DNA? Simple Christian. But let me take it a step further. Did they not also bear the spiritual DNA of their spiritually fallen father and mother?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. So some people will say, well, why doesn't the scripture say that of Cain? And why doesn't it say that of Abel? Well, okay, go with me to 1 John chapter 3, please. 1 John chapter 3. So far, so good, everybody?
Yes.
All right, interesting? All right, 1 John chapter 3. We're going to read one verse here. Very self-explanatory verse. Okay, look at verse 12. 1 John 3. Not as Cain, who was of the
evil one.
Evil one. Who's the evil one?
The devil,
Satan, right? Not as Cain, who was of Satan, or the evil one, or the devil. And the sign that he was of the evil one, what was the sign? And did what to his brother?
Murder
his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Okay, let me be clear about something. In fact, go with me to verse 10, please. All right, very important truth in verse 10 of 1 John 3. Wasn't planning on taking you there, but I'm going to take you there now. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. Oh, so there are only two types of children on planet Earth, right? The family is, what's the first family? The children of? And then the second family is the children of?
The devil.
Well, that's mean. No, that's truth. And he says, whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Okay, so stop there. So there are two spiritual families. There are two spiritual types of children on planet Earth. Children of God, children of the devil. Very simply, John, the gospel writer, also the writer of these epistles, said in John 1:12, I'm giving you a lot of scripture, okay, let me just slowly tell you, he said that everyone who accepted Christ receives the right to be called a child of God. Right? Right? So is every human being, as the culture says, that every human being alive on planet Earth is a child of God? Is that correct? No. Because there are people that are children of whom? The devil. Let me clarify. That does not mean that they're demon possessed. That means that their primary spiritual source of influence is not God, it is the devil. Make sense? Whose spiritual father was Cain? Satan? Okay, so let's take that a step further. Whose spiritual father was Adam after the fall? Come on, people. Like son, like father, right? No, not originally God before he fell. Right? But now it's whom?
The devil.
Okay, so go with me to John 8, please. The Gospel of John, chapter 8. Am I giving you too much? We're going slow. We're being methodical with this. I'm painting a picture in your mind of what's happening here. Why do we need a Savior? John chapter 8, verse 44. Notice Jesus' words. John 8, 44. You are of your father whom? The devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. Notice the next phrase. He was a what from the beginning? What did the 1 John 3:12 say that? Why was Cain considered a child of the devil? Because he did what? Murder. So isn't this John 8:44 passage a direct reference to Cain's murder? Isn't that how the devil was a murderer through his spiritual child Cain? This means yes, right? And notice, He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. What was the other sin that Cain committed? Didn't he lie to God? He's like, where's Abel? Am I my brother's keeper? So those two, since the devil is a murderer and a liar, and you see those traits in Cain, doesn't it stand to reason that Cain and Seth and all the children of Adam, listen carefully to your time, this is really good teaching. Why are we sinners? That all the children of Adam were children of sin, children of the devil. That does not mean, let me say here, that there were not righteous people. But let me be clear here, church family. The only people that were considered sons of God in the Bible, listen, there are two designations. In the Old Testament, they were considered angels. And in the New Testament, it's those people who accept Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. Everybody else, don't throw rocks at me, I'm glad the crowd is small. Listen, everybody else is a child of the devil. What that means is that your primary spiritual source of influence is not God, it is whom? What does 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4 say? That the devil, the God, little g, God of this age, has blinded the minds of whom? Unbelievers? So who is this primary spiritual source of influence to unbelievers? The devil. The Bible chooses to use the words children of the devil. Right? That doesn't mean you worship Satan. That doesn't mean you're a Wiccan priest or priestess or whatever they are. That just means your spiritual source of influence is the devil. How many of y'all have met Christians who seem like their primary spiritual source of influence was the devil and not God? There are a few out there. All right, so far so good, everybody. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. This verse is going to tie everything I've said up to this point beautifully. This one verse, Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Notice, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world. Through who was that one man referring to? Adam, right? Okay. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all people because all have sinned. Doesn't that answer the question? Adam was primarily a child of God until he disobeyed God. Who was influencing Eve primarily? The devil. Didn't say the serpent was the most crafty among all the animals. And he begins by planting doubt into Eve's mind about God's provision. Did God really say, don't eat of the fruit? And Eve, yeah, we're not supposed to eat it. Neither are we supposed to touch it. Now, did God ever say you can't touch the fruit? No. So she was operating under misinformation. Right? Where did she get that misinformation from? Her husband. Right? Because was Eve around when the Lord told Adam, you're not supposed to eat from the tree? She wasn't around. She was created after that commandment. So the hubby isn't even communicating correctly to the wife. Babe, you can say amen to that. She's like, man, I'm waiting to text. And why can't you just pick up the phone? And anyway. So that has been passed along with sin. So listen, the train of thought is then, when Adam partook and Eve partook, doesn't the Bible say their eyes were opened? That's when they became sinners. That's when their spiritual DNA, listen carefully, Jesus said in John chapter 5 that we can pass from death to life, but Adam and Eve passed from life to death. Right? Do you realize that sin is the spiritual nature of the spiritual father, the devil? Right? It isn't until we accept Jesus Christ that we become children of God. Turn with me. Turn with me to John. I tell you, there were a lot of verses to turn to. John chapter 1, please. Verse 12. But as many as received him, received Christ, to them Christ gave the right to become what?
Children of God.
Who gives the right to become children of God?
Jesus.
Jesus, God. Can the culture say, well, you're a child of God simply because you're a human? Can people of the world give you that right to be called a child of God? Can people with darkened hearts tell you that you're a child of God? Let me phrase it in a biblical way. Can the children of the devil tell you that you're a child of God? Who's the only one who has the right to give you that privilege of being called a child of God?
Jesus.
Jesus. Right? So why are we sinners? Let's recap. Why are we sinners? Why do we need a Savior? That's really the question. Because number one, listen carefully, church family, because we are sinners. We are sinners. We were born sinners. In Psalm 51, David said, in my mother's womb, I was conceived in sin. Every child born, as angelic as their faces are, as cute as their faces are, as beautiful as children as they are, or babies that they are, listen, as wonderful as their mothers say they are, perfect inside, they have the potential to be dirty, rotten little sinners. Right? I love my grandchildren. I love Conry. He's the firstborn. And I feel like I have a special bond with him. And he is so sweet. And I love when he runs up to me, love you, Pops, and gives me a big hug. Or that, or Remus. And don't ask me why they have these names, okay? I told my daughter, you know, you watch, because his name is Remus Aurelius. I said, you've been watching too many Gladiator movies. And that little Merlin, they're sweet. But I'm telling you, I've seen those kids act up, and I've seen Conry rear back and kick his brother, and him being taken upstairs to get the paddle. Yoo-hoo! Who taught him to do that? Nobody. You know what, your family? Listen, I'm going to give you a profound statement. I'm not done yet. So far, so good, everybody? Are you still tracking? Interesting? Better question. Enlightening? Okay, listen. We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. You've got to know the difference. You've got to know the difference of that. We are not sinners because we sin. That's what religion tells you. That's what the organized religion, man-made traditions of spiritual laws and moral laws, what they'll tell you is you're a sinner because you sin. Well, baby, we were all born sinners. And the more accurate statement is we sin because we are sinners. Do you see the difference? Go with me to Luke 15. Luke chapter 15, verse 1. Listen carefully. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receives what?
Sinners.
sinners and does what?
Eats
with them. This man Jesus receives. Notice how they call the people who have bad lives or doing wrong with their lives, they call them sinners. But who would agree with me? The Pharisees and the teachers of the law are every bit as sinners as the people they're accusing to be sinners. See, we've got to accept in our minds, church family, that just, listen, here's another statement. Just because someone sins differently than we do doesn't make us better. Can you believe that? They're doing crack now. Can you believe that? They got caught with 3 grams of cocaine. Well, what is your sin? Maybe your sin is not cocaine. Maybe your sin is drinking Coke like it's going out of style. Well, that's not a sin, Pastor Joe. It is if it's doing damage to your body. Right? It's funny how we can get with this sin thing. If we believe that people are sinners because they sin, then we'll have all kinds of form of judgmentalism. The reality is we sin because we are sinners. Why do we need a Savior? Because we are sinners. Matthew, last scripture, Matthew 1, chapter 1. I keep earning my keep, Mr. Gerald. Matthew chapter 1. Why do we need a Savior? Let's answer that question point blank. Verse 21. And she, Mary, will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name what? What does Jesus mean? Next phrase. For he will save his people from their sins. Why do we need a Savior? Because we were born sinners. Last thought, and I'm done. Listen, church family. God does not call us to be sinless. Who knows? That's an impossibility. On this side of heaven, that's an impossibility. But God does call us to sin less. Right? He doesn't call us to be sinless. He calls us to sin less. All right, how many of y'all learned something new today? We're blessed by the teaching of the Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you, Father. Thank you for these sweet people, precious people that have shown up here this morning. Lord, we thank you so very much for your precious Word. Thank you for giving us understanding and helping us to see technically and legally according to the standard of righteousness and your Word, Lord, that we need Jesus because we are children of the devil. We're not born sinless. We're born innocent. We're not born sinless. But Lord God, we need Jesus. Every generation has that one thing in common. They're all sinners in need of a Savior, Jesus Christ. To you be all the glory. Amen. Thank you.